Chapter 9. A Thoughtless Comment. Mr. Knightley had never liked Frank Churchill, and the more he saw him, the more he disliked him. He watched Frank closely and saw that he paid Emma a lot of attention and flirted with her, but that he also liked Jane Fairfax. Mr. Knightley thought he saw signs of a secret friendship between Frank and Jane. This perturbed him, and he tried to talk to Emma about it. "My dear Emma," he began, "how well do Frank and Jane know each other? Have you ever thought that maybe he likes her, or that she likes him?" "No, I've never thought that," said Emma. "What's this all about?" "I've seen signs," he answered. "I've seen the way they look at each other." Emma laughed. "You've got a really good imagination, Mr. Knightley," she said. "But you're wrong. I'm absolutely sure that Frank doesn't feel anything for Jane." Despite Emma's confidence, Mr. Knightley didn't agree with her. He shook his head and got up to go home. In June, Mrs. Elton decided to organise a picnic at a beautiful place in the countryside called Box Hill. Unfortunately, her horse hurt his leg the day before the trip, so they couldn't go after all. "It's so annoying, Knightley," Mrs. Elton told Mr. Knightley. "But what can we do? I'm very disappointed, and so is Mr. E." "Well, you can all come to my house at Donwell Abbey and pick my strawberries," Mr. Knightley replied. "They're ready to eat now." He was joking, but Mrs. Elton was very excited. "Knightley, that's an excellent idea," she cried. "We can walk round the gardens, pick the strawberries and have a picnic under the trees. I'll arrange all the food and bring all the guests. Leave everything to me. Just say what time we should come." "I hope you'll bring Mr. Elton," said Mr. Knightley firmly, "but I will be the only one inviting any guests." "Oh, you're very strange, Knightley," said Mrs. Elton. "Very well, I'll bring Jane and her grandmother and leave the rest to you." The day of the picnic was hot and sunny. Emma hadn't visited Donwell Abbey for a long time, and she enjoyed walking round the beautiful garden and grounds. She noticed Mr. Knightley and Harriet laughing and talking together, so she joined them, and they all went together to see the fish ponds and the river. After a while, Emma went inside the house to sit with her father, who didn't like the heat and preferred to stay inside. As she walked into the hall, she met Jane, who looked as if she was trying to escape. "Miss Woodhouse," said Jane quickly, "I'm going home, but I haven't told anyone I'm going. If anyone asks you, please will you tell them?" "Of course I will," said Emma, "if that's what you want, Jane, but you're not going to walk back to Highbury on your own, are you?" "Yes," replied Jane. "It won't take long. I'll be there in 20 minutes. "But that's too far," said Emma, beginning to feel concerned. "Don't walk home alone. It's too hot. Let our servant go with you, or let me order the carriage." "No, no, thank you," said Jane firmly. "You're very kind, but I want to be alone. I'm tired. But a walk will make me feel better." Emma said nothing and watched her go. Just then, Frank arrived. He was hot, thirsty, and in a bad mood. "I'm definitely not in love with him anymore," thought Emma. "Who could love a man who gets into such a bad mood for no good reason?" But after lunch, Frank's mood improved, and all was well again. Mrs. Elton's horse was better, so the picnic at Box Hill could go ahead the next day. "Please come, Frank," Emma said. "It won't be the same without you." Frank smiled at the compliment. "Well, Miss Woodhouse, if you want me to come, then of course I will," he said. The next day should have been a perfect day for the trip to Box Hill, but it wasn't. It was very hot, and no one had any energy. The people separated into groups. The Eltons walked together. Mr. Knightley took charge of Jane and Mrs. Bates, and Emma and Harriet walked with Frank Churchill. Captain Weston and Anne tried to bring all the groups together, but they couldn't. Emma was bored. Frank was silent and he wasn't listening to what she was saying. Harriet didn't say anything at all. She was quiet because Frank was quiet. When they sat down to eat their picnic lunch under the cool shade of the trees, Frank cheered up and started to talk to Emma. But no one else joined in their conversation. She thought he was trying very hard to win her heart. "This is boring, Miss Woodhouse," he whispered in her ear. "We are the only ones who are talking. What can we do to make all these silent people have some fun?" Then aloud he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Woodhouse wants to play a game. She wants you all to say one clever thing, two quite clever things, or three very boring things. And she promises to laugh at them all." "Oh," laughed Mrs. Bates, "that's easy. I'm sure I can say three boring things, can't I?" Emma could not stop herself. "Excuse me, Mrs. Bates," she said, "but how will you manage to say only three boring things?" Mrs. Bates didn't understand straight away, but when she did, she blushed and looked hurt. "Ah, yes," she said quietly. "I see what Miss Woodhouse means. I'll try to be quiet and not say more than three boring things." The others looked angrily at Emma and stayed silent. Mr. Elton stood up. "I've got nothing to say that will make Miss Woodhouse laugh," he said to his wife. "I'm just an old married man. Let's go for a walk, my love." "Yes, let's go for a walk, Mr. E," his wife replied, glaring at Emma. "I don't like games like this." They walked away. Jane soon followed with Mrs. Bates and the others. Emma felt very bad and was relieved when it was finally time to go home. As she waited for her carriage, Mr. Knightley came up to her. "Emma," he said, "how could you be so cruel to Mrs. Bates? I didn't think you could be so unkind." Emma blushed and tried to laugh. "Oh, it was a joke," she replied. "She didn't understand what I was saying." "She understood you perfectly." "We all did," said Mr. Knightley firmly. "Emma, Mrs. Bates is poor and she isn't very intelligent. She isn't rich and clever like you. You made fun of her in front of everyone. That was humiliating, Emma. Very humiliating." Mr. Knightley walked away. And soon Emma's carriage arrived to take her home. She cried all the way home, feeling truly ashamed of what she had said. Mr. Knightley was right, as usual. How could she have been so cruel to a kind lady like Mrs. Bates? The next day, Emma visited Mrs. Bates to apologize. Mrs. Bates was quiet and less friendly than usual. But when Emma apologized for her thoughtless remark, she smiled. "Thank you for apologizing, Emma," she said. "I forgive you." Embarrassed, Emma turned the conversation to Jane, who was lying down because she was not feeling well. "Jane is going away soon," Mrs. Bates told her. "Jane has got a job as a governess. Mrs. Elton found it for her." "I'm sorry to hear she's leaving you," said Emma politely. "When is she going?" "Very soon, in 2 weeks," said Mrs. Bates. "I'm upset about it." Emma left Mrs. Bates on friendly terms again. Then she walked home to find Mr. Knightley there. He looked uncomfortable to see Emma. Mr. Woodhouse broke the awkward silence. "How was Mrs. Bates?" he asked. "I'm sure she was glad to see you, my dear." "Emma went to visit Mrs. Bates," he told Mr. Knightley. "She's always so kind to her." Emma went red at this. Mr. Knightley caught her eye and smiled. He took her hand and squeezed it. They were friends again. Emma was very glad she had gone to see Mrs. Bates.